sinful. Oh my. I ask you to cleanse me, forgive me. Lord, I need help. Lord, I'm no better than anybody else. I'm not no more righteous than anybody else. Lord, if I'm going to mark iniquity in me, Lord, the line's going to be long, the list's going to be long, and it's going to be in bold print. Lord, I know that. Lord, I'm sorry. I ask you to please cleanse me. Lord, I couldn't help but think this morning as I tried to talk to you. I keep asking for forgiveness, and I keep doing the same thing over and over. And Lord, I see it even in my own mind, my own heart, my own life, that repentance don't really mean much because I won't change. Father, I'm asking you to help me change this morning, that I might walk like you want me to walk, that I might be what you want me to be just now. Lord, as we preach today, I pray that our hearts might be touched of the Holy Spirit, that you might move upon us as Christians, as lost people, whatever the case may be here today, for those listening on live stream. Oh God, move upon us, I ask. Save us. Save those that's lost. Cleanse us that are wrong. Help us to walk like you. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. I'm sad this morning. My heart's sad this morning. I thought I would get mad, but I just got sad. I just got brokenhearted. I watched a few minutes of the debate this week, and we could all talk a lot about things, but I was so ashamed of our country. I was so ashamed of the United States of America this week. I was sickened, ashamed that that's the best we can find to run for leaders in our country. When Donald Trump and Joe Biden is the best that we got up there to choose from, huh? God help us. God help us. Huh? Think about it. Think about it. All we could say is God help us. You know, for a Christian nation, we say we're a Christian nation. That's about the biggest joke that we could say. For a Christian nation to consistently put in ungodly leaders is not the marks of a Christian nation. It's not. It's the mark of stupidity. We're getting ready to celebrate freedom this week, the 4th of July. And the men and women who give their life that we might be free, and all these years done it, then we waste it on Donald Trump and Joe Biden. I'm sorry. We waste the blood of men and women who give their life for us to be free, and we're wasting it? What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? You know, it's almost like who you choose, the devil or his sister. You know, I mean, it's just, it's bad. Things is bad. And this is the way it is. And we keep going and going and going. And the Bible becomes more true because there's a falling away. And it's all because we fall away from the Lord that these things have happened. How long before we see that God's not blessing our country? Huh? That things are being taken away. How long before we wake up to see that? How long before we start admitting that things are wrong? How long before we start admitting things are wrong in our own life? When we come to terms and say, I am not what I'm supposed to be. I have to change. When, how long does it happen? How long we got to keep on and keep on and keep on and losing and giving up? We've given up the freedoms of the country, but look what we've given up with God. The power of God and the friendship with God, if you would. The intimacy with the Lord that we're losing. We're losing in this church. The power that we've had in the past and things that has attacked and things that's come that from a church that was growing and seeing people saved till division comes and things taken away because our mind and our focus gets away from God and we quit doing what we was doing. How long before we say, man, we're wrong, let's stop. Let's stop. How long before we do that? Well, I got to accept that's the way things are. It's the last days. Don't want to hurt nobody. Don't want to offend nobody. Don't want to discipline my kids. And I don't want to go against the community. And I don't want to have a bad name. We already got a bad name. Amen. We got a bad name with God. God says, you're my children. Look how you're acting. Huh? Everybody's worried about everybody but God. And I believe we better go back and thank the Lord for some things. I believe we better, huh? Let's look and see, just for a minute, just for a little bit of introduction. Let's look at Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Well, what should I thank the Lord for, huh? Now, this ain't the message. We're not preaching on thankfulness this morning. I just want you to think about it. What are we thanking the Lord for? Look at Lamentations chapter 3 and look at verse 22. Well, I need to start at verse 21. It says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Well, can I tell you, I don't have much hope right now this morning. I don't have a lot of hope because I believe God's about done with stuff. Because it says here, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassion is filled. The only thing that's keeping us having the church doors open and the country not completely over 100% idolatry is the mercy of God. That's it. It ain't because we're good. It ain't because we've deserved it. It ain't because we're righteous. Because we're about as ungodly and unrighteous as any country that's on the face of the earth today. You know? But it's God's mercy that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. And they are new every morning. Had He not given us new mercies this morning, then we would see nothing but the wrath of God today. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy this morning, huh? Because of mercy. Mercy means compassion. Forgiveness shown towards someone when it is within one's power to punish. That's what mercy is. Can I say it again? Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone when it is within one's power to punish. It's within God's power to punish across the board. And only because of mercy, He don't. Huh? Only because of mercy, He don't. Go on with the meaning. It says, to treat an offender better than he deserves. Boy, ain't that a fact. Mercy is to treat an offender better. We're treated better than we deserve. Huh? Look at me. Hey, you're treated better than you deserve this morning. Our attitudes and life and our priorities and everything that's in life, and God still lets us breathe His air and walk on His dirt and gives us stuff to eat. Huh? And we look to man for leadership. We look for man to fix the problems because we're too sorry to turn to God. And only His mercy keeps us going. There is not another word synonymous with mercy. It's what the dictionary says. The dictionary says there is not another word totally synonymous with mercy. The only word that comes close is grace. That's what the dictionary says. That there's not a word synonymous with mercy because nothing else can explain mercy than He just keeps back what we deserve. Oh boy, I thank God for mercy this morning. I thank God for mercy. Can we just for a moment reflect on our life? I want you to close your eyes this morning. Everybody just close your eyes. I want you to reflect in your mind your hellishness and wickedness and bad attitudes and sin that you laid in and wallowed in and enjoyed. And how about just going ahead and thanking God for mercy that you're not in the very deepest hell. That He gave you mercy. Oh, thank God for mercy this morning. Thank God that we got mercy of a Heavenly Father this morning. Think about it. That's where we're at today. Man, because of His mercy, look this way this morning. Because of His mercy,
right,
we are living today. Because of His mercy, we got so much pride and we got so much arrogancy, and we blame it on others, and we're as full of pride and arrogancy as we can be, and we put so much confidence in our country. Listen, I love my country. I love that flag. I love that flag better, but I love that flag. I'll die for that flag. Yes, I will. I'll die for that flag as well. I'll die for this book. I'm not going to quit leaving this book. You can take it from me. You can burn them all, but you can't take it out of my heart. I believe the Word of God. But can I tell you, it's His mercy. His mercy is what has helped us. His mercy is what has kept us. Thank God for His mercy this morning. And we took it for granted. We took His mercy for granted. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, can we? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Everybody still okay? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His," what? "Abundant mercy." What about it? That He has begotten us. He born me again. Begotten us again because of abundant mercy. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God saves us with mercy. Well, none of us deserve it. None of us deserve it. And we take it. We readily take it. We take His mercy. And any more, nobody pleads for mercy. They don't fall on the altar and plead for mercy. They fall on the altar and say, "Give me an add-on Jesus." We don't plead for mercy. We don't plead for mercy. We abuse it. Accept it. Take it. We don't plead for mercy. We still okay? How about Psalms 25? Can we go back there just for a minute? Psalms 25. We'll give you the message here shortly. Psalms 25. Psalms 25. Let's look verses 6 and 7. Psalms 25, verse 6 and 7. Says, "Remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth." Yes, please don't. Please don't. "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to Thy mercy, remember Thou me. For Thy goodness' sake, O Lord, don't remember my sins. Don't remember my transgressions. Please don't remember that. Please just remember Your mercy and Your loving kindness." Is that not our plea this morning? Oh, please. Please don't call up my wrongs. Please don't call up my mistakes. Please don't call up my shortcomings. Oh God, just when you look at me, will you just look at Your mercy. Please, please don't look at me. Don't look at me. But I'm afraid. I'm afraid that we forget some things. The Bible says in one whole chapter of Psalms, every verse, that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Well, it does. It does. Mercy is one of God's attributes, and as long as God is, there'll always be, He'll always have a mercy in Him. That's the way God is. Are you hearing me? But can I tell you, to be naive and think that God is always going to show us mercy, that's wrong. Because God will not always show us mercy. Now, well, they was new this morning. Yes, they was. Yes, they was. But let's look over in Romans and see what Paul's writing to the church in Romans chapter 9. We got to remember that God is merciful. Is He not? That's one of His attributes. Right? One of His attributes. God is merciful. He's loving. He's kind. But He's fair. He's just. He's holy. He's pure. Is that not true? But look in Romans chapter 9 and verse 15. For He saith, the Lord does. It's about the Lord. For He saith, you know, verse 14 says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteous with God? God forbid. There is no unrighteous with God. Hear me this morning. God is never and can never be wrong. There's no unrighteousness with God.
Amen.
No sin. No wrong. It's not, everybody look at me. It's not that Jesus come to this earth and chose not to sin, but He was God in the flesh and could not sin.
Amen.
Because He was 100% God. God in heaven cannot do wrong. He never has done you wrong. It don't matter what your opinion is. You're wrong. I'm wrong. But God's never wrong. Never wrong. Never. He can't be. Because He's holy. And there's no unrighteousness. But look what it says in verse 15. For He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. That's His choice. It's not your choice. That's His choice. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
I mean, you go and read on down there, and it says it more than once. All right? But He says there, no, listen, there's no unrighteous in me, and I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. In other words, there's somewhere it's going to stop. Somewhere things will change. Somewhere there might come a day that they won't be.
Yeah. Amen.
Can I tell you? That happens. So I want to preach to you this morning, just for a minute, when there's no more mercy. Turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. And if I can at all, I want to give you just a simple message this morning on when there is no more mercy. When there's no more mercy. I've been reading this and reading this and reading this and reading this, and it's been wearing me out, and I've been trying to examine myself. And I want you to look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. If you'll read the chapter, if you read in Samuel, you'll see several things. Everybody look this way just a moment. When you read in Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, what you'll read is you'll read about Samuel, of course, a prophet, and then you'll read about Saul, the king of Israel, the first king of Israel. You'll see how God is not the one who chose him, but He allowed the people because the people wanted him, because He suited the people. He didn't suit God, but He suited the people. And God blessed him. God would have blessed him abundantly if he had just done right. And because of Saul, some things happened to Israel, happened to the kingdom, and God then laid His hand upon David and David's house. And we know, if we know anything about the Bible at all, that was all God's purpose from the beginning anyway. David and his lineage of where Christ would be born in the flesh, all of that purposed by blessings and promises to Abraham. If you read your Bible, we all know that. Is everybody okay with me? All right, just a quick overview, all right? But listen to me now. Verse 15 is where we're going to start at. God talks to the prophet Nathan. Nathan, I want you to go talk to David. This is what I want you to tell David, that his house is getting ready to take over, and I'm going to bless his house, and I'm going to bless his lineage, and he's going to be able to build the house of the Lord. All that's going to happen. But I want you to look at verse 15. Very disturbing verse to me. It says, but my mercy. This is Nathan, the Lord, talking to Nathan to tell David. But my mercy shall not depart away from him. Speaking of David, ain't that a blessing? For my mercy is not going to depart from him. As I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. When God says there's no more mercy. See, he done said, I'll give mercy to whom I want to give mercy. And I'll give compassion to whom I want to give compassion. And I'll give forgiveness to whom I want to. I'm God. There's no unrighteous. When I deal with unrighteousness, I'll decide where the line's at. We don't decide where the line's at. God decides where the line's at when he says enough is enough is enough. But we don't believe that God will ever say that. But yet I read right here that God tells Nathan, you tell David now, tell him, make sure he understands, I'm going to give him mercy. I'm not going to take it away like I did Saul. That's what it says there. Well, did it happen? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Well, why? What happens? When there's no more mercy, what causes no more mercy? What's the reasons for no more mercy? And we can see maybe if we might be in line for that to be said about us. Huh? Is everybody still with me? When there's no more mercy. See, we've got the naive thought that our people that's lost, well, it's going to be okay. Everything's all right. And God will work it out. And I've even, listen to me, I have even witnessed this to the point that I've been called by the bedside of a person that was comatose for a week, that the family, because they prayed, not because the person was conscious, but for all the years of this person's life, denied Christ, forbid his family to come to church, always a fight to come to church, but denied Christ, denied the Bible, sat and talked with him with my Bible on many occasions, and defied God in every way. That comatose, laying in a bed, because the family prayed, they said he's got to be okay because I prayed. You say, well, surely nobody done it. Yeah. And not only that, but they bragged for these years since the person passed that he's in heaven. Well, I'm sorry. That didn't happen. That didn't happen. He rejected God before he was comatose, and for a week I stood by his bed several times. We okay? We listening?
Right.
Mercy sometimes stops. What if God stops mercy for you? What if he takes your mercy away? He gives you mercy every day, every day, every day. He gives you mercy every day. And we're enjoying it, ain't we? We just all, just a while ago, shouted and was a tickle because we had mercy this morning. But what if he stops it today?
Right.
Well, you don't get no more mercy. You're on your own. You're on your own. All right, if you want to do it, then just have at it. You go ahead. How's it going to be? How's it going to be for your people? Help me for my people. When God said, nope, enough. Enough's enough. I've given you opportunity after opportunity. I've given you mercies over and over and over and over. I've given you compassion over and over and over. I'm done. I'm done. Have you ever thought how it would be if God says, I'm done? Does our nation not understand that somewhere God has said, I'm done?
Right.
I'm done. He says it with churches. It's a sad thing for a church to dry up and be boarded up. Huh? I'm done. I done told you about great places. And I'm not mean mouthing any man of God or any church, but I just let you understand. We have a great church. We love our church, do we not? Talk to me, do we not love our church? But we think of the great Lee Robertson, but there's no Temple Baptist no more. There's no Highland Park Baptist Church no more. It's done. It's gone. There's no Emmanuel Baptist Church with Dr. Tom Malone. These are churches that run 4,000 or 6,000. Soul winning, run buses, run hundreds of buses. They're not even a building there no more. Huh? Dr. Billington in Akron, Ohio, a great minister, great church. There's an old boy from West Virginia, goes up there to work in the automotive industry, builds a 15,000 member church, runs buses, builds a great church. Huh? Nothing there. Nothing there. What happens? What happens? Y'all think we could lose everything we got here? Huh? But what? That would be as a church collective. But what about you? What if God sets you aside and says, I'm not just, you're on your own. You do it. You say, well, he said he would never leave me nor forsake me. Well, that is true. That is true. But he said, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. See, sometimes it's better for him to just take you than just put up with you. Are you hearing me? Well, but that's not popular, is it? Sometimes the Lord, it might just be, I'm just going to take you out of the way. I'm tired of tripping over you. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Well, why wouldn't he? There's no unrighteousness in him. He's holy. He's pure. See, we don't want to see that part of God. We don't want to look at that side of God. We don't want to look at the wrath of God. But yet, can I tell you, God's mercy is great. Look at Calvary. Look at the cross of Calvary. Is that not the most beautiful picture of mercy you've ever saw? Huh? But is it also not the best picture of wrath? For mercy on Calvary, that God would come down and die in my place and shed his blood for my sins. Oh, what mercy and love and compassion. But to see all his wrath put on his son, all wrath put on his son in my place shows me the wrath of God. And there was no mercy for his son. Did not Christ himself say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Are we still on the same page this morning? We better keep our scripture together and understand that God is not the one that keeps turning his back and turning his head. It's okay, okay, okay. No, there's finally says, enough's enough. Enough's enough. And that's what he told Saul. Well, why did he tell Saul? Well, let's look at the four reasons here. Maybe we can find. We can find, maybe. And you'll find it in chapters 13 through 15 if you want to go back and read all the chapters. We're just going to give you a couple of verses in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And let's see what started. What started? See, man chose Saul. God allowed it. Yes, he did. All right? God said, okay. And there's sometimes God is lenient. He'll give us a little room. He'll give us the room and see what we're going to do. Huh? How much leniency has he given you? Man, I can't even tell you all the leniency he's shown me. And you're all right. That ain't what I want. Let's just see what you do with it here. And you know, when we're given the leniency of our own will, we keep going further away from God instead of to God. Because our ways are not His. We don't want to go to the Lord. You understand that? That's why we must have His leadership. That's why He must direct our paths. Because if we try to do it ourselves, we go away from Him, not to Him. You not understand that? If we don't adhere to His Word and follow Him, we go away from God. It don't matter what our intentions are. Saul never started asking, well, one thing I'm going to do before it's over, I'm going to make sure I get away from God. He never said that. Huh? Look what he done. Is everybody still okay? 1 Samuel chapter 13. And let's start here at verse 11. All right? 1 Samuel 13, verse 11. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." So right there we're going to find a couple of things right quick that causes us to, if you would, for the Lord say, no more mercy. When God says there's no more mercy, and the first thing here is religion without Christ. After a while, the Lord says, no more mercy. And that's exactly what Saul done. He offered his own sacrifice instead of going the way that the prophet was supposed to do, the priest was supposed to do, and offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, which all them sacrifices was an example of Christ. And Saul was out of order, and he was religious without Christ. And we're living in a day right now where people come to church and Christ is not in their mind. We come to church and Christ is not in our life. And we're religious and Christ is not given the time of day. We don't watch him. We don't serve him. We don't use him as an example. We don't listen to his voice. And we don't use him other than for a byword or a way to get out of something. But we're religious. Show me the ignorance of people. Give me the words. I think I had you. Show me. Now, remember that picture? Now, listen, I want you to read that. You know I'm not on Facebook no more. I got on Facebook yesterday. Cheryl's birthday was yesterday. And she was telling me about all kinds of people wishing her happy birthday and everything. That's why I want to go on and see how everybody wished Cheryl a happy birthday. And I wished that because I got so mad. I just had to get off of it again. I can't go back and look. It just makes me mad. Makes me sick to my stomach. And this is what somebody in Nicholas County, I ain't going to call their name, but a wonderful church person in Nicholas County made this statement, and they're ignorant. Says, stop arguing about rapture and translations and the Trinity. Now, if I'd have probably been okay on maybe let's not argue about the rapture, about how it's coming, when it's coming. I might have given a little leeway there. But don't argue about the translation. Don't worry about the Trinity. Whoa, wait a minute. That's about God. Spiritual gifts and the shape of the earth, and go tell somebody about Jesus. Well, what you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them about Jesus? Well, you can't tell them he's coming because you can't talk about the rapture. Can't tell them the Bible says this because we can't argue about translation. Huh? You can't talk about being right or doing things that your way because you can't talk about any spiritual gifts. What are you going to tell them? If you ain't going to talk about the Trinity, you're going to tell them that he's God? I mean, that's stupidity. So I had to really quickly get off of it because of Christian people, and I say they're Christians, they start saying, yeah, right, that's good, that's good. So it's stupid. Amen. Everybody understand? I just plumb stupid. I'm sorry. That's stupid. Give me the picture. Here's our Pride Month campaign. Praise this week. Satan loves, or loves Satan. Not today, Jesus. That's our gay pride parading this week. So I had it off Facebook going again. I can't watch it. Can't see it. Can't view it. It's where we're at today.
Right.
We want all the good in Christ without Christ. We want God without Christ. There is no other way other than by Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's where we're at today. That's where we're at today. Saul had the mercy took from him because he had religion without Christ. Let's look, what's the next thing? That's the next thing. How about we look here in 1 Samuel, let's flip over to verse chapter 15. Religion without Christ. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2. Well, we just one and two goes really. I mean, we read, we keep going back. Sorry, Nancy. We keep going back and back and back. And we laugh about how I can't just take one verse, but it's all there. So, verse, look at 15:1. It says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to stop right there. There is no confusion about what God told Saul. Not only did he have religion without Christ, but he rebelled against the Word of God. This is God's holy Word.
Right, amen.
If you're saved, this is the only directive you need. And this book will judge us someday. But do we live by it? Do we go by it? Do we go by it? How do I know he didn't go by it? Well, see, rebellion against God's word. Let's drop down to verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight. Ooh, we can stop there. We can stop there. And when we quit going by the word of the Lord, it's because of our pride. Because we know. We know. And I know. I know. See, we're living in a day where everybody wants to be equal. Now, listen. I'm not trying to be self-righteous, none at all. Everybody understand that? I am not, so don't take it that way. But I do have a problem with somebody that gets saved in 6 months. They try to tell me how to pastor and how to study and where to read. Because they may have some good points, but they don't know.
Amen. That's right.
Okay. I'm sorry, we're not equal. Everybody understand that? You know, if you've been on a job, and you've been on that job for 30 years, and here comes this young punk. You know? He ain't even learned to pull his britches up. And he comes in and gets a job, and after the first two or three days, then he starts explaining to you how you ought to be doing the job you've been doing for 30 years, and he ain't learned to pull his britches up yet. They're not equal. I'm sorry. We understand that? They're not equal. But when Saul started, he listened to the voice of the Lord. But some things happened. Because he was a head and shoulder above all men. Then he took it that he was above all men. And me and everybody else ought to be very careful That he's always out there, somebody is smarter than you, done more, and will receive more. Huh? Than we ever will. Huh? But I'm just telling you what happened, why there was no mercy. Rebellion against God's word. Let's look here. As Samuel said, verse 17 is where we're at. When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, I have obeyed. Well, I did. No, he didn't. You know what it says? The Lord told Samuel to tell Saul, go down there and kill everybody, everything that moves, kill all of them. And Saul went down there and killed who he wanted. He done what he wanted instead of what the Lord wanted. And then he said, well, I've done what the Bible said. That's where we're at.
Amen.
The Bible says this. Yeah, but I don't like that part. I really don't mean that. I mean that. Yeah. So I'll have to get a different Bible so I can change it to where the way I want. I'm just telling you, this is where we're at today. Everybody believe what they want. And if you're offended, tough. I don't really care.
Amen.
When it comes to the Bible, if it offends you, it just going to have to offend you. I'm not going to soft soap it to get you to believe it. I'm not trying to have an attitude. I'm just not. It's God's word. It ain't my word. I'm just a messenger. Okay. Well, let me ask you, did he obey the word of the Lord? Let me ask you, do you? Do I? Do I obey the word of the Lord? If I don't obey the word of the Lord, do I think that it's okay? Do I not think that maybe somewhere he's going to say, okay, as I took mercy from Saul, then okay. What we do if there's no mercy? I just want us to understand some things. Are we okay? Somewhere we're going to have to stop and regroup and come back to God. Because I'm afraid His mercy is about done. Huh? How about we drop down to verse 19? We go on. Still read a little bit. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Look at verse 21. But the people, all them people that follow me, I ain't to run wrong. It's everybody else that's wrong. I'm not the one wrong. It's all them people that they took the spoils. And I got Agag. I got the king. I did. I got him. Just like the Lord said, I got him. But he didn't hack him in pieces. Anybody follow me? How often do you say if you're okay and this other guy's a strong? Sound like that's what I've been saying all day, don't I? No. See, the third thing that caused the mercy to depart was religion without Christ, rebellion against His word, and repentance didn't happen. Repentance didn't happen. Huh? Saul never did repent of it. Never did. He never did say, boy, I have sinned. I should have done that. I'm sorry. Give me another chance. He never, ever said that. He still said, if them people I done right, because that's what I chose to do, no repentance. Well, for Samuel when it was done. He said, bring me the king. And it says there in verse 34, verse 33, and Samuel said, as the word hath made, as a sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. The Lord wanted it done. Samuel said, all right, let's get her done. And he hacked him up in little pieces. And you say, well, that's tough. Yeah, what? That's tough. See, sometimes God says, enough's enough. We still okay? I want you to understand today that we're living in a time where we want everything without Christ and the holiness of Christ. Hey, if you're saved, there's something holy lives inside of you. And we just heard last Sunday night, be ye holy as I am holy. Think about that. And His Word tells us. We know what His Word says. We know. We rebel against His Word. Because we say when we're come to face it, I know what it says, but you don't understand my circumstance. I know what the Word, so the Bible changes as our circumstances change. No, the Bible's our standard. And somewhere the Lord's going to say, I'll just take your mercy away. What are we going to do when he died? Okay. We see there back in 2 Samuel 7:15 where he removed the mercy. He took it away. Well, what's the fourth thing? Religion without Christ, rebellion against God's Word, repentance that did not take place, and then there was continual repeat offenses. When there's no true repentance, there's continual repeat of action. Everybody understand that? And you say, well, where's the verse for it? We'll just read 1 and 2 Samuel. Up to the first chapter of 2 Samuel. And you'll read, what did it cost Samuel? It finally cost Samuel his life and his three boys' lives. It finally cost them their life there at Gilgal. And they died. The Philistines come. Now think about this. Here is a king that Samuel said, the Lord was getting ready to let you have a kingdom forever. I was getting ready to go ahead and bless you. And you went and done this thing. What he said there in 1 Samuel. Will you still follow me? He said, but now we're going to give it to another. A man of that stature, of that prestige, of that ability, that he's laying up there dead in battle. The enemy comes and they don't just say there he lays. They got him, clipped his head off, went and showed it all over the community, all over town, took him and nailed him and his boys to the wall in their false temple the Philistines did, so they could see and give praise to their false gods as supposedly God's man there on the wall nailed without a head. Are you listening to me? And some of them old boys down there in the army, they waited till dark. They slipped in there and got them off the wall. Got their bodies off the wall, went and burned them. Got their bones, went and buried them. Tried to save face a little bit. It don't sound to me like there was no mercy for Saul. What's America going to do? How long before there's a Soviet flag or an Iranian flag over the White House? How long? Will that ever happen, or will they just disgrace this one to the point that it's a shame for it to even stand? How far will our country go And we keep putting them in office and keep going and keep going and keep doing the things and putting up with it. It ain't the one leader that sits in the White House. It's all the men and women in Senate and Congress that is corrupt and evil as well. And the judges and everything. Where we fail? We failed because of plenty. We failed because of plenty. And we've been worried more and thankful more for another ear of corn than we have the fellow planting. And God is going to say, no more mercy. We got our people that's lost. But yet we call a prayer meeting and the church don't come. We can only eat out on Sunday morning. We can't come when we're asked to come for special prayer on Wednesday. Because our priorities are bad. We won't stop what we're doing of recreation, and we won't stop what we're doing to feed our face, and we won't stop what we're doing to have fun in this world, and then we want God to show mercy. I'm going to tell you, somewhere God's going to say no more mercy. Our priorities are messed up, and our rebellion is evident, and our obedience is lacking. And Saul was told by Samuel that obedience is better than sacrifice above all. That rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Huh. That's where we're at today. What is it the old preacher said? We can call a let's eat meeting and we all come. But we call a let's pray meeting and nobody wants to go. And we say, but God's mercy is good. Boy, I'm glad for God's mercy. Boy, it'll endure forever. I don't have to fret about it. But we forget Romans 9:15. For I will give mercy to whom I will give mercy, and compassion unto whom I will give compassion. I'll be the one that decides who gets mercy, not you. I will be the one, he said, because there's no unrighteous with me. I'll be the one that says. And I'm afraid today that our blessed United States of America is going down to the sewer. Amen. I do not believe there's no hope for it. Do not believe there's no hope for it. I'm not moving. I'm going to still stay American. I'm going to pray for, and like I said before, as a doctor stays with a dying patient, I'll stick right with it. America is not going to turn to God. We can't expect the lost world to turn to God if the church of God won't turn to God. When God says, no more mercy. Looked at our lost list and look at our people that we've been trying to get to come to the Lord. What happens when praying don't do no good no more? What happens when he just goes in? There's no hope. There's no more hope. What happens? I read through the Bible, and I read verses. What is in Hosea where he said, "Let Ephraim alone. He is a half baked cake, huh? Or he's a cake half turned, huh? Let him alone." Then his mercy showed up again. He said, "How can I give thee up, O Ephraim?" Speaking of Israel, how can I give thee up? But then he tells Saul, though, no more mercy. I'm concerned. We fall out over politics. We fall out over Democrat and Republican. They're all evil. I don't believe there's a godly man in the White House. Myself, I don't believe there's a godly one in the Senate or Congress. I see some religious. I don't know if there's any godliness up there. Our leaders, we don't got them. Which is worse, a liar or a liar? Which is worse? A Democrat liar or a Republican liar? Which one's worse? Anybody tell me? I thought a lie was a lie. I wonder what this church would do if I just preached on politics for about 3 months till November. I wonder if there'd be anybody left to preach today. If we just dissected everybody in office with the Bible. What if we just dissected our church? What if we go by alphabetical order and we put everybody's name on the wall? And that'll be the Sunday morning when the A's come. All the A's, we'll talk with the first one and with the last name at the start. And we'll say, and we're going, all the righteousness that's in that name. And then we'll go to the next one and go to the next one. And I wonder how we'll fare when it gets to your name. I just wish my name started with Z. So I could be last. Father, I'm glad you give us mercy today. Oh God, I need mercy today. I beg for mercy today. Please, oh God, give me mercy today. Give my people mercy today. And I'm afraid someday you're going to say no. Someday you're going to say no. God, help us to serve you, to trust you, to love you, to obey you. Help us to understand that somewhere down the line, no more mercy. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's